O Lord, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you this day in your sight. O Lord, our good shepherd, our strength and our redeemer. Amen. This Sunday is Good Shepherd Sunday. Did you guess? And it's included in the church calendar each year to remind us, because we need to be reminded over and over again that Jesus is our Good Shepherd. And that may be true even more in the times that we live in, because these are anxious times. And to hear again the message that God is our shepherd, who cares, who protects, who guards, who restores, is one that is so important for us and for our neighbours and for the whole world. So what is the way of the shepherd? Perhaps Psalm 23 says this more clearly than anything else, and of course it's probably the most well-known passage in the whole of Scripture. We could probably quote it this morning, even in the different versions that we have, but it's something that's printed on our minds and on our hearts. But with that, there comes a danger of over-familiarity. So I'd like us to think of a few things this morning. Some of the power of these images. In anxiety, the shepherd promises to comfort us. We live in an age of anxiety, and I wonder this morning what your anxiety is. Is it health? Is it the pandemic? Is it family? Is it that worry that just is the background in your mind that refuses to let you go? In anxiety, the shepherd promises to comfort us. In the busyness of life, the shepherd promises to restore us. We're certainly a world that needs restoration. In busyness, where do you need restoration? Are you frantic about things in life? That you're not going to have enough time? That you're not going to get through things? That you're not going to be good enough? That it will never be enough? In the busyness, he promises us to restore us. In adversity, the shepherd promises a feast for us. Where are those hard places in our lives? With family? With friends, people who don't like us, people who don't understand us, where we fear. In the midst of adversity, the shepherd promises to prepare a feast for us. In death, he is the shepherd who promises to be with us. The Easter message of resurrection, the promise of life. Death is dead, love has won, Christ has conquered. In death, the Good Shepherd promises to be with us. When we turn to the passage in Acts, we have Peter, the disciple shepherd, in the story of the early church. We know a lot about Peter. We meet him frequently in the Gospels. When we met him a few weeks ago, he was frantically denying Jesus. I swear to you, I don't know him. Then we meet him cowering in fear for his life, his hopes dashed and crushed, his faith dead, one of a small band of disillusioned men. 3 days later, we watch him in ecstasy, running to meet the risen Christ, and with him we listen to those words of restoration and commission. Feed my sheep, tend my sheep. Feed my sheep. And then we watch him as he waits for the coming of the Holy Spirit in anointing and in power. Within days, that small group of 120 Spirit-filled believers becomes 3,000, then 5,000, and the church explodes. Now Peter, rather than running in fear and anxiety, boldly stands on the street corner preach the message of life and salvation in Jesus. A message to the crowd which keeps on gathering and growing. When he heals a beggar in Jesus' name, The news spreads like wildfire and the crowd continues to grow. Soon it's all that everybody is talking about, much to the consternation of the religious leaders. It's all too much for them. They are thoroughly alarmed. They thought that all this Jesus fuss was over. Crucified, dead, buried. And here is Peter, this cowardly Jesus betrayer, suddenly full of courage and boldness, preaching to multitudes and healing in the name of Jesus. He's dragged before the authorities and called to account, but it is Peter who calls the authorities to account, that they have betrayed their calling to be shepherds. They have become the hired men who have run away when things have become difficult. He is unafraid, he is unintimidated, he exposes them and preaches God's message about the flock that they are called to nurture and serve but have abandoned. And so we turn to John's image of the Good Shepherd. Followers of Jesus from those first disciples through the centuries to our present day have sought for words and images that bring comfort and explain who Jesus is. And it's interesting that in some of those very early churches and in the catacombs, the image of Jesus that we find is not the crucified Savior. It's not the baby in the manger. It's the Good Shepherd. Jesus dressed in a simple tunic with a lamb draped over his shoulders. To a church in persecution, this is the message they needed. Jesus is the Good Shepherd. It's a message that we too need to hear today. Jesus, the Good Shepherd. John's account in his gospel begins with a grand vision of the one who was before all time and space, through whom all things came into being. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. And then John goes on to give us many images of Jesus that provides so much illumination and comfort. The bread of life, the living water that never runs dry, the light of the world, the true vine and we are the branches, the resurrection and the life, and the Good Shepherd. It was an image so important to them as they encountered persecution. Jesus, the gentle shepherd, I am the Good Shepherd. I know my own, and they know me. I am the Good Shepherd. I know my own, and they know me. It's a relationship. It's a two-way, loving, looking, and listening. The Good Shepherd knows us, he calls us by name, and we listen to hear his voice. That voice that brings reassurance and strength and security. The voice that restores our souls. The voice that leads us into life and eternal life. And how are we to respond, seeing this as a two-way relationship? First of all, by listening. And so I love that we have added those words to our service. God is still speaking and we are still listening. Listening is an often neglected and very demanded spiritual exercise. The busyness of life invades our devotional lives, it invades our prayer times. It robs us of hearing the voice of the Good Shepherd. It has been pointed out that the word silent is an anagram of the word listen. And I find this very profound to think about. It's not too hard to silence the outer noise. It's a lot harder to silence the inner noise. To be silent, to be still, to listen, and to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd who calls us beloved. And then in this relationship, we respond with our own feeble and yet wholehearted love and our obedience. The Good Shepherd is the one who leads his flock to food, to good grazing ground, to water. He tends them when they are hurt. He protects and guards against predators. He leaves everything to look for the one that is lost. He builds a safe place for the sheep. In the same passage where Jesus describes himself, calls himself the Good Shepherd, he also calls himself the door or the gate for the sheep. And it's a wonderful image from those times, that during the day the sheep would roam freely, but during night the shepherd would call them into the sheep pen. And the sheep pen or the sheepfold was actually just three walls of stones, the enclosure for the sheep. The fourth wall was the shepherd himself, who lay down to guard and to protect the sheep through the night from all that would disturb and from all that would prey on them. And so Jesus literally and willingly lays down his life for the sheep. Not only on that one hideous day on Good Friday, but every day he lays down his sheep. He dies that we might live. He guards and protects. He is the Good Shepherd, and he is the gate, the door. And so Jesus, in these few sentences, he describes his whole mission as the Good Shepherd, his life and his death. As one of the early church fathers wrote, he began his ministry by being hungry, but he is the bread of life. Jesus ended his earthly ministry by being thirsty, yet he is the living water. Jesus was weary, yet he is our rest. Jesus paid tribute, yet he is the King. Jesus was accused of having demons, yet he cast out demons. Jesus wept, yet he wipes away our tears. Jesus was sold for 30 pieces of silver, yet he redeems the world. Jesus was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, yet he is the Good Shepherd. Jesus died, yet by his death he destroyed the power of death. We may not be a Peter preaching to thousands. We may not be a John writing immortal letters of love and life to the churches. But we too are called to be shepherds, to the hurting, to the lonely, to the lost people around us, not to live narrow lives of self-protection, but expansive lives of giving and forgiving, of encouragement, nurture, grace, humility, hospitality, and love. So may it be for us today as we walk with Jesus, our Good Shepherd, and bring his shepherding love to those around us. Amen.